This is Scott Becker with the Becker Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by a very brilliant leader and editor, managing editor, Emily Rapley. Emily's been with us at Becker's Healthcare for the last 5 years. She covers politics. She covers healthcare. Really a brilliant writer and thinker. She's now moving on to do freelance work. We're sorry to lose her. Just a great, great thinker and writer. She's going to speak today about some of the things that she sees in healthcare and politics and so forth. Emily, can you take a moment to introduce yourself? And then we'll talk about some of the issues that you see.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Scott, for having me on the podcast. So I'm Emily Rapley, and I'm a managing editor here at Becker's Hospital Review. And as Scott mentioned, I've been here for about 5 years or so, covered a lot of different things in those 5 years. But right now, a lot of my coverage has focused on politics and policy, and then leadership and governance issues at hospitals. And as Scott also mentioned, in March, I'll be venturing out on my own to do some freelance work, and I'm excited for that as well.
Well, congratulations. And Emily, let me ask you this. The issues that you're covering, you see so many issues. What are three of the issues that you find sort of most interesting now that come across your desk?
Sure. There's so much interesting stuff going on in healthcare and politics. So a couple interesting things I think that are happening first and foremost in the political arena. I have to say that Mike Bloomberg's campaign, I think, has just been absolutely fascinating. So he came in a little bit late and has been pretty much just pouring money into ads and into forming a top team for his campaign. And I think at least right now it's kind of working. I've noticed that a lot more people are talking about him, both positively and negatively, but they are talking about him. So his strategy has been a little bit different than some of the other Democratic candidates who are pretty much following the primary schedule, going state to state, and he's taking a bit of a different trajectory. But it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out and, if he becomes the moderate candidate on the Democratic side.
Fascinating. And you have your own politics, of course, like everybody does, has their own opinions. You worked hard to stay very balanced in your coverage. How is that? Is it hard today? Is that easy today? How does that work as a journalist today, trying to stay balanced in a very partisan world?
I would say that it is challenging. Obviously, everyone has their own biases. You're bringing your identity, your experiences, all your different opinions to the table, and that absolutely changes how you see things and how you process things. I think, like any other type of bias in my work, it's something I try to be constantly aware of and refining. And it really does help to be in the print and digital realm as opposed to, podcasting or on TV, because it gives you the time to, go back, review what you've written and ask yourself, am I being fair here? Is this word choice editorializing or showing bias in any way? So I think at Becker's, obviously, what we're trying to do is give people news snippets, help make them aware of the various conversations that are happening out there. So I really view my job as not to, impart my own biases on things. So just to present the information as impartially as possible so people can decide for themselves what to do with it.
But no, and you've done a magnificent job of it. In terms of where healthcare is headed, Medicare for all, public option, current system, what's your crystal ball tell you about where the country is going and where some of this is going?
Sure. So I would say that it's pretty hard to predict the future, but what I would say, based on what we've seen, a lot of polls are showing that healthcare is one of the most important issues for voters this election. And the majority of voters are looking for something that is a bit more moderate than Medicare for all or repeal and replace. So really basically something that is building on the current system that we have. Obviously, this depends, pretty significantly on who's elected as president and also into Congress, especially Congress, is they're going to be the ones who have to pass these laws. And I don't think a lot of the more sweeping proposals that we've seen would pass through as is. So what I do think is more likely in the short term, at least, is that we're going to see more of a piecemeal approach to healthcare reform and improving on what's out there. And we're starting to see a little bit of that already. I would say some areas, obviously surprise medical billing. We've seen a couple bipartisan bills just came out this month. And then also we're starting to see some agreement around drug pricing. So I think it's safe to say those will be the next reform. If a Democrat takes office, I wouldn't be surprised to see the discussion move more towards a public option. If Trump continues for a second term, you know, we may have more discussions around things like block grants or those type of reforms. But there was a really interesting report that I just covered that came out from the Bipartisan Policy Center, which is a think tank in DC. And that really outlined in quite a bit of detail some ideas that coming from both sides of the aisle that Congress could pass for reform. And I thought a lot of the ideas were pretty interesting. It's hard to get into all the details there, but some interesting stuff that, you know, there's a lot we can do that is short of one of the two extremes.
Well, thank you. And quite frankly, in terms of from a Trump perspective, he had pushed for this repeal and replace, but 80% of the public plus loves this concept and polls accordingly that you need to be able to buy health care insurance regardless of pre-existing conditions. So is this a case of where, from a Machiavellian perspective, he pushed hard for repeal and replace, couldn't do it, but ultimately is probably pleased that he didn't get it because he would have been left without this pre-existing condition concept, which 80% of the public plus are huge fans of. Any thoughts on this? Has this turned out good for President Trump in a strange, obtuse way? Because if he actually got repeal and replace, it would have been a very difficult spot for him.
I think that's such a great question. It's actually one of the things that I'm also tracking pretty closely here. So there is an ACA lawsuit regarding the constitutionality of the Affordable Care Act. And right now, as it stands, the Democratic-led states in the case, which are defending the ACA, have tried to push this into the Supreme Court, and they will be deciding next week if they'll hear the case. So a lot of experts are saying it's unlikely they'll review the case during this next term, which would put it kind of front and center during the election. It's certainly not outside the realm of possibility, but if they were to hear the case, you know, upcoming here in this term, I think it would be a huge liability to the Trump administration because the Trump administration did side with Republican-led states in this to try to take down the ACA. And with that, to also take down the protections for people with pre-existing conditions, which obviously is a huge political liability. And as it stands now, we don't have a alternative or a backup plan to preserve those protections. So I think that one of two things. I think the Trump administration is kind of banking on the fact that the docket's pretty full for the Supreme Court. It's a pretty complicated lawsuit at the lower court level. So the chances that it really becomes a front and center issue during this election are, I would say, slim, which is a good thing for Trump. Another kind of interesting tidbit within that case that I don't think gets talked about a lot, but the Trump administration did propose an idea that if, you know, the law were to be found unconstitutional, that it might only be unconstitutional in the plaintiff states. So in some states, we would have the ACA, and in some states, we wouldn't. I think that kind of is an indicator that maybe the Trump administration realized that it wasn't the best path forward to just in one fell swoop repeal the ACA.
To get rid of it. Then he would need Democratic help to get put back in the pre-existing condition thing, and they wouldn't give him that victory this year because they very much would want it to be that he killed that situation. I'm going to make a statement, and I'm going to want to hear your comments on it. Okay? Tell me if you're ready. So the two most honest things I've heard in the last year from politicians are as follows. One is Bernie Sanders saying, I really don't know what Medicare for All is going to cost. None of us really do, but we think it's a good thing. That I think is a very honest statement. Whether you're a Sanders fan or not, I applaud him greatly for being as clear and honest about it as possible. The second honest statement that I'll point to is President Trump, probably about 12, 18 months ago, and I believe that this is correct, basically essentially said, you know, this healthcare thing is very complicated. And I think that's also true in that providing care, access, quality, and cost-wise to 325 million-plus people that are aging every day with increased shortages of physicians is also a very complicated thing. And both candidates have been lambasted for those statements. Bernie Sanders was saying, I really don't know what it's going to cost, but I believe it's a completely honest statement. And President Trump saying that it's incredibly complicated, which I also think is an incredibly honest statement. And any thoughts on that, Emily?
You know, I think that that's an interesting read. I would say, yes, both of those statements are honest and certainly not untrue. I think partially probably why they're getting so much heat, and as you know, is just because it's kind of their job to figure out the path forward here. So we're looking to the leaders to suggest a way to, you know, chart a path. How could we potentially pay for Medicare for all? You know, it may not be how it ends up actually happening, but if we're not able to even dream of a plan for that, like how would we ever pass that? And same thing for Trump, you know, if we're not ever able to discuss potential ways to provide care and access at affordable prices for 345 million people, many of whom are aging, we're never going to get to that place.
Let me ask you a follow-up question to that. It's on the Democratic side, or the moderate side, or the progressive side, or however it went in terms of the day, there's a lot of interest in some kind of health care reform. And it's not clarity about what exactly it is, but there's certainly a lot of interest. On the Republican side, constituents, when you get past the politicians, there's also great concern about health care reform, about affordability of health care, about drug cost. Washington State has passed a public option. Colorado is moving towards some sort of public option. At what point do Republican lawmakers hear enough from their constituents about pre-existing conditions or public options that lawmakers feel compelled to get in the game a little bit further to negotiate this, or is this something they just won't touch until post-2020?
That's a great question. It's hard to say before 2020. I would imagine we'll probably face a significant stalemate here, but I would like to hope, I think after 2020, we'll start to see a little bit more movement and a little bit less of a gridlock around some of these issues. And I think even just looking to like Republican governors, for example, so many of them have changed their tune on Medicaid expansion after seeing that that worked financially for their state. So I do think it's possible to see some change in opinion or change in action here, but it's hard to say whether that will happen pre-2020 or post.
Fascinating. I mean, so many fascinating issues. There's the insurance industry, strength and power that is, as much as they complain about different issues, seems like some of the insurance companies continue to still make a lot of money and do well. There's so many different constituents at this. And behind every issue, there's another issue or different constituency that is a different opinion on it. It's a fascinating thing to watch and cover, and you've done a remarkable job doing it. When you look at the analytics of what readers find the most interesting, what issues do you cover that get the most interest from readers, that you find readers the most engaged on or want to hear about the most?
Yeah, I think in the, at least in the political realm, people are very interested in hearing about anything that Trump is doing, especially as it relates to high-level budget concerns, and then some of the work that he's done around kidney care, that got a lot of interest. On the Democratic side, anytime we hear of their plans and their campaigns, I think that's really interesting. A lot of the discussion there lately, I would say, is kind of stagnated. And then in terms of just on the more hospital side of things, I think we're seeing just a lot of interest. I also cover leadership and governance, so touching on that as well, I think something that's been really fascinating as of late is the diversity issue. So a lot of hospitals are really trying to diversify their leadership, and I think healthcare, like so many other industries, is probably on the cusp of becoming a lot more diverse at different levels. But that's causing organizations to kind of take a look at themselves and think, how can we go about this in a thoughtful way? So as we continue to write about this, we actually just launched a women's leadership e-newsletter, which has gotten an extraordinary amount of engagement and interest from our readers, which is awesome. But it's really interesting to hear from these health systems who are doing work related to this to reduce disparities in leadership and in pay and a lot of other issues that affect different minorities, whether it's gender, race, or otherwise.
Well, fantastic. Both the mix of diversity issues, gender, race, also the political issues people are following very closely in terms of whatever new issues or new programs or new ideas people are coming to the table with in the fight over those. I want to take a moment and thank you for just doing a remarkable job at Becker's Healthcare the last 5 years. You've just done a fantastic job. Is there a place where, aside from covering and following you at Becker's Healthcare, you'll be starting to freelance? I know you'll be looking to grow your business and so forth. Is there a place where people could find you post Becker's Healthcare so that they can reach you and try and work with you?
Absolutely. So I'm actually in the process of putting together my portfolio site. So coming soon, that will be at emilyrapley.com. My last name is RAPPLEYE.com.
Oh, fantastic. Emily, you've done a magnificent job, and it's just a pleasure getting a chance to visit with you today, as always. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks so much.